spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Stay tuned at the end of this program for a special announcement about the Eternal Light Summer Series. Today's program, written by David Davidson, is entitled Samuel and the King.
And Samuel the prophet judged Israel all the days of his life. And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that all the elders of Israel gathered themselves unto him at his house in Ramah, and asked of him,
Give us a king.
Yes, yes.
You are asking for a king?
Yes.
Make us a king, Samuel.
To rule us like the other nations.
Like the Philistines, the Amalekites, the Ammonites. They worship idols, those other nations. They throw their own living children into the flames for a sacrifice.
A king will give glory to Israel.
Is it not glory enough that since the Lord took you out of bondage in Egypt, you've become a nation of free men, ruling yourselves? Why must you now give yourselves back into bondage to one single man?
A king will give us strength.
And what will he take from you? The man on whose head you put a crown. For I tell you, this will be the manner of a king.
Samuel.
He will take your sons, and they will run before his chariot. He will appoint them to plow his ground and reap his harvest. He will take the tenth of your flock, and you shall be his servants. And he will not let the name of any other man be spoken before his own.
Give us a king, Samuel, that he may lead us in battle.
That we may be like all the nations.
As you wish. I am only your servant. Servant of all Israel, not your king. Therefore, I must obey you. Go back then, every man to his city, and in the fullness of time, assemble your tribes together, that you may choose you a king.
And as the time came near for the choosing of a king, Samuel sat in his house with his son Joel.
Father, there is one name which is mentioned more and more above the rest in the marketplaces.
And of whom is it, Joel, that they speak?
Of a young man of the tribe of Benjamin, a son of the house of Kish.
I know that house. Though they be not famous in the land, they are all good men.
And this one their son. It is said of him that once, when the holy tablets of the law were stolen from us by the Philistines, he went and took them back with his own hands alone.
His name?
Saul, he is called. From his shoulders and upwards, he stands higher than any of the people. Tall as a tree, Father.
Saul.
Plow his father's fields and never talks of all his medals.
At least then he has the blessing of modesty upon him. I only wonder.
Yes, Father.
I wonder what a crown and scepter will do to the modesty of any man.
Now it came to pass that the donkeys of Saul's father Kish strayed from his lands and were lost. And Saul went with one of the servants to find them. And they passed through the hill country, but found the donkeys not. And then they came to the city of Rama.
Well, Naho.
Yes, Master Saw.
I'm afraid that now we've lost ourselves as well as the donkeys.
Yes. Well, Master Saw.
Hmm?
When we stopped a while ago at the inn, I heard that near here lives a man of God, Samuel.
Samuel?
And that he is a wise man who hears all and knows all. Maybe he can tell us about our donkeys, or at least tell us the way home.
But we have nothing to bring the men, Naho. Our food's all gone, nothing in our pockets.
But this holy man, Samuel, takes nothing from anybody. He refuses all gifts.
Oh, good. Oh, well, I'll ask those milkmaids coming up the road. You there? Could you tell us where Samuel lives, the holy man?
How tall he is. The handsomest man I ever saw.
Please, where can I find the house of Samuel?
Up there, straight ahead, that little house on the hill.
Oh, thank you. Come on, Naho.
And that's all?
That's all.
Master Saw, you're blushing.
I came to look for donkeys, not compliments. Come on, Naho. I pray you, is this the house of the holy man Samuel?
I am Samuel.
Oh. Oh, excuse me for not knowing you. You're dressed so plainly. And I'm a stranger here in your city.
You, I have never laid eyes on a man so tall in the whole of Israel. How do you call yourself?
Saul is my name, the son of Kish. And the reason I came
Saul.
Here was...
Saul.
3 days now we've been searching for some donkeys of my father.
Come in with me, both of you.
Yes, Master Samuel.
Thank you. Well, it seems that the donkeys...
Set not your mind on them, Saul.
But
I have heard that on you is set the desire of many in Israel.
On me?
That you should be their king.
A king?
Saul, why do you laugh?
I am a Benjamite, Samuel, of the smallest tribe of Israel. And in Benjamin, my family is one of the least known.
Yes, not only a brave man, but a modest one. It is good that the desire of Israel should fall on one such as you. It gives me greater hope than I dared have.
Master Samuel, you confuse me with everything you say. I came here only to seek my father's donkeys.
And perhaps you have found a kingdom. Saul, come with me to the tent of prayer.
But...
So that we may pray together and the Spirit of God may descend upon you and keep you always so humble. Come.
And in the crowd who came to take part in the prayer, two men said,
"Look you who stands there at the altar with Samuel."
"You mean..." "Yes, there is only one man in Israel that tall."
"Yes, Saul, the son of Kish."
"And he stands there praying together with Samuel. So, is Saul too among the prophets?"
"This can only mean, Jerah, that he has won Samuel's favor. It is a sign."
"Then Saul is the king for us."
"Yes, Naho. I don't believe it.
But look, here they come for you."
"No, I won't go. Let them choose another man. I won't go."
"Master Saw, come back. Master Saw."
"Elam, Jerah, you of the elders."
"Yes, Master Samuel."
"Where is your king that you have chosen?"
"Master Samuel, it is unbelievable. First he ran and hid himself behind all the baggage."
"Call him forward."
"But then he ran away altogether."
"Ran away?"
"Yes, back to the farm of his father, he said."
"And he left his crown and his scepter behind him?"
"Oh, what a mistake we've made.
How can such a man lead us?
This poor, timid rabbit.
No, Elam, no, Jera. I fear it not at all that this man should run away and hide his face from glory. This is good before the Lord.
Good?
I ask myself only, what if such glory be thrust at him a second time? And a third? Will he run again so fleetly? Or will he come in the fullness of time and of himself to love it? And hunger for it, even.
We know not of other times, Master Samuel. What now?
Now? I can only tell you, men of Israel, to pray. Yes, pray to that king who is above all kings, and who will neither run away nor ever oppress you.
And it came to pass that an invading army of the Ammonites encamped against the Israelites of the province of Jabesh-Gilead. And the Israelites said, Let us make a covenant, and let us be at peace. But the Ammonites answered, On this condition, that we will put out the right eye of each man among you.
Here, Jera, this way.
But he, Elam.
See? He stands there in the field with the ox and the plow.
A muddy peasant.
Yes.
And that we chose for a king.
Well, at least we must tell him the news. Come, Jera. Saul? Saul?
Yes? Who calls me? Oh, Elam. Jera.
Men of the Council of Israel. Saul. Have you not heard?
Well, what ails you two that you stand here and weep?
It is the Ammonites again.
They threaten war against our people in Jabesh-Gilead.
They offer peace only if our people will agree to let their right eye be put out, every man of them.
What?
This is what their king proposes.
Yes, to ridicule our people, to hold them up to the contempt of nations. And how did our people answer?
How can they answer? Without an army, without a captain to lead them in their own defense? They asked for a few days' delay.
Delay? Give me your sword, one of you. Give me yours, Elam.
Here, take it, Saul. But why do you...
So that I may use it against my own ox here.
Saul, hold but a moment.
And that you may say to the people in my name that whosoever comes not forth after Saul to defend his land, so shall it be done to his own ox.
Saul, Saul, spare your ox. We will say it to all the people as you wish.
And say it? In the name of your king.
Yes, Saul.
Of Saul, the king.
Yes, your majesty. Yes, your majesty.
I go now to make myself ready to lead the people.
Elam. Yes, Jera?
How fierce he can be, this modest man. How resolute.
I must say that Samuel chose wisely. That, Jera, we will see.
And the people came out behind King Saul as one man, and they smote the invaders so that there were not two of them left together.
Your Majesty! King Saul, my lord!
Speak! Say what is in your hearts.
Do you not remember that there were once those who made small of you and asked, How can such a man lead us?
Yes, I remember talk of such kind.
We will bring you those men that they may be put to death.
Yes, bring them to me at once.
No! Speak, no! Speak not so hotly.
Who is it that gives orders to the king? Who tells the king...
Saul, Saul.
Oh, Sam.
One victory and you're so inflamed already that you would put to death any man who ever spoke a word against you. Was it for this that Israel chose a king?
These were men
And
who...
how will you be after a second victory and a third?
Very well, Samuel. There shall be no man among us put to death this day. Do you hear? For today, God
has wrought deliverance.
Yes, Saul. God, and not any man alone.
And 2 years Saul reigned, and Samuel spoke ever to the people.
Serve the Lord with all your hearts, and turn not aside, for then you will go after vain things which cannot profit you. Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ever ceasing to pray for you. But if you do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king together.
Father, if I may speak with you.
Joel, my son.
Terrible news, Father. The Philistines are assembling an army against us, and it is said to be more numerous than the sands on the shore.
Why again must the invader come against us? Why will they not leave us at peace in our fields and among our flocks?
But they do not, Father. And Saul goes therefore to the city of Gilgal to gather forces to defend ourselves. He has sent me to ask you to come there inside of 1 week to offer prayers before the Lord. For their success.
I will be there, and I will give the prayer. Go now and tell him.
King Saul, my lord.
Yes, Elam?
Our army is beginning to scatter. We can no longer hold them.
Scatter? What then do they fear?
The Philistines are getting ready to advance. And our men ask how they can win when we have offered no prayers yet, no sacrifice.
Samuel is on the way. Tell them that.
It is of no use, your majesty. The men will not stay.
Fools. All right, then. Go out and find me a set of priestly vestments.
What?
I shall be their priest, Elam.
King Saul, this is unheard of in our religion.
You are hearing it now. As I am your king, so shall I be your priest. Get me the vestments. Gather all the army before the altar, at once.
Saul! King Saul!
Oh, Samuel, so you've come at last.
Is it true, Saul, what my eyes just saw, that you stood before the army as a priest?
My men were nervous. I had to come.
Saul, Saul, you've done a foolish thing. You've made yourself the minister not only of man's law, but of God's law, too. These are two different things. And no one man has the right to take to himself the power.
But if the people wouldn't wait
for you... Saul, I had thought that in you the Lord found a man after his own heart. Instead...
Samuel! You forget yourself.
Saul...
You're speaking to a king. Not any ordinary man.
Then know, Saul, that in the sight of God, even a king is but a man. And no more above God's law than any man. Saul, take heed. You grow much too great in your own sight.
Stand back, Samuel, out of my way.
Saul!
I have more to do than stand here and argue with you.
Saul, for the last time!
Jonathan! Ahijah! Form your companies! Get ready to advance!
And Saul smote the Philistines that day. But Samuel arose and got him home to Ramah and sorrowed ever after for what Saul had done.
But, Father, it was, after all, such a small transgression.
Small? Do we not all know, Joel, how from an acorn no bigger than your thumbnail can grow a mighty oak? With its great trunk and many branches.
But, Father...
In this same way can one small transgression grow and grow until it covers all the land with the shadow of its branches. It matters not that a man's sin be small, only that he should put such a plant into the earth at all. And only a fool, my son, waits until the evil has grown so great that it will take all the axes of the land to fell it. He has betrayed me, Saul. It was my hope that in him we had found a man after the Lord's own heart, but now...
And David his tens of thousands.
But now I fear that Israel will yet have to turn away to some other man for its salvation.
Tens of thousands.
Yes.
Saul has slain
even perhaps to that shepherd boy of whom all the land sings today. He who slew Goliath.
David he is called. David, son of Jesse.
He rises like a star over Israel, and the light of the Lord is upon him. And King Saul hearkens to his music and loves him like his own son. But I wonder only...
Yes, Father.
How long King Saul will be able to bear another light in the land beside his own.
David, put down your harp.
Put it down.
And come here forward.
Yes, Your Majesty.
I have given you all honors. I have raised you next to myself in this land.
Yes, my lord.
And now, all that you lack yet is my kingdom itself.
But, my lord...
I shall see first that you lack your life. Give me my spear. Give me my spear, that I may smite him to the wall. Give it to me.
David, run for your life. Run, David. The king is mad.
Samuel, mourning all the days of his life for Saul, died in his house in Ramah. And all Israel gathered themselves together and buried him. But upon Saul lay an evil spirit, and he became ever more afraid and wandered in his thoughts, and knew not what passed in the land. And he said,
Where is Samuel the prophet? I must speak with Samuel.
But, my lord, the king...
Bring him here to me, that I may speak
with... This we cannot do.
Did you not hear your king command you?
Does not the king know that Samuel is dead?
Dead, you say? Dead?
These many weeks. And buried at Ramah, where he dwelt.
Dead. Oh, why then did I wait this long? Why then did I not seek him out while still he lived, while still...
My lord, the king...
Yes?
In the town of Endor, there is a cave where many go to seek the spirits of the dead and speak with
Vanity, them. Foolishness. I believe not in witchcraft. I've driven every witch out of the land, and I will not now, but... At Endor? This darkness before my eyes... What is there in this darkness but darkness itself? If I could find but one spark of light. Samuel! Samuel!
Saul, why do you call me?
Samuel!
Why do you disquiet my spirit in this way?
Do my eyes see this? Or only my mind. Samuel, will you speak with me?
Why, now you seek me out, Saul, as you did not before.
Why? Because nowhere on all the earth do I find peace, Samuel.
Saul, you are the first king to sit in Israel. It was for you... to be the measuring rod of all the kings of Israel that are to come, so they might know what is kingly to do and what is not.
And I failed, you say? I measured not myself up to the height of a king.
Failed? In this way, Saul, you have not failed. That from you, all Israel has learned that a king, too, is only a man.
Samuel.
Oh, my son. It was your lot to prove on earth this teaching of the Lord.
And it has been taught. Too well for my own peace. Oh, Samuel, will the lesson never be done?
So,
how much longer must I be the slate in the hand of God on which he writes his lesson?
So, hear me. So long that there is breath in any of us, we are everyone a slate in the hand of God on which he writes his medicine.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Baruch Silverstein, Rabbi of Temple Emmanuel of Borough Park in Brooklyn and Chairman of the New York Council of the Rabbinical Assembly of America. Dr. Silverstein.
Saul, Saul, you have done an arrogant thing. You have made yourself the minister not only of man's law, but of God's law, too. What a passion for freedom must have been throbbing in Samuel's heart. And what a deep hatred of oppression. What a courageous statement. And yet what an elementary truth it enunciates. As long as the king confined his leadership to the maintenance of order and security, he had the prophet's support. But as soon as arrogance reared its ugly head, and Saul tried to invade the domain of God's law as well, Samuel defied him publicly. That was his inescapable duty, and unmindful of the risks and difficulties involved, he pursued his mission with sublime patience and fearlessness. The Lord hath spoken. Who can desist from prophesying? 3,000 years have passed since that clash took place upon the hills of Judea, but the conflict remains unresolved. For while many generations have seen the appearance of a tyrant, very few have been blessed with an opposing Samuel. While autocratic rulers have progressively increased their arrogance, men of God have often been guilty of timidity. The voice of tyranny has grown louder and louder, while the voice of prophecy seems to have become weaker and weaker. When love of peace will evoke as much fanaticism as love of war, then will lasting peace be in view. When the ideals of brotherhood will be as sincerely pursued as the idols of hatred, then will enduring freedom beckon at us. When the voice of prophecy will become as militant as the voice of tyranny, then will enslavement have suffered its greatest defeat. My dear friends, the sacred mantle of prophecy is now resting upon the strong shoulders of America. The protective staff of Prophet Samuel is now in the firm hands of the United States. May we pursue this mission like the Hebrew prophets of old, with humility and sincerity, with courage and determination, with a sense of dedication and divine guidance.
Thank you, Dr. Silverstein. Our eternal eye drama today, Samuel and the King, was written by David Davidson. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Roger DeCoven as Samuel, Philip Burnup as Saul, and Raymond Edward Johnson was the narrator. The music was composed and conducted by Morris Momorsky. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brandt speaking. For the next 10 weeks, The Eternal Light will present a special summer series, Words We Live By, dialogues between two of America's distinguished men of letters, Maurice Samuel and Mark Van Doren, based on Thomas Mann's classic, Joseph and His Brothers. Listen to this exciting experience on radio, which will touch on virtually every facet of the Joseph story in the Bible. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.